Perikhes opens up. Bayomahu, Nosan Amelech Achashverosh La Esther Amalka. On that day, Achashverosh, the king, gave Esther Amalka its base Haman Tzorir HaYehudim. He gave Esther the house of Haman. Not only the house, but also the position of Haman. The signet ring that Haman had was now passed over to Esther. Mordechai bo lifnei Amelech, ki gida Esther mahulo. Mordechai now came in front of the king. Esther handed over this position of Haman. She hands it to Mordechai. And now Mordechai becomes the viceroy of Achashverosh, the king. And Esther tells Achashverosh what their relation is. So according to one Manda Omar, she told him that she was his niece. Now, according to the Manda Omar, that she was actually married to him, I don't think she told him that Mordechai was her husband, because Achashverosh would not be too happy about that. But in any case, she definitely told him that he was her uncle, which was true. Now remember, at this point, the only thing that happened was Haman was killed, Esther and Mordechai were spared, their life was spared, and the position of Haman is now given first to Esther, and Esther hands it over to Mordechai. The decree to kill the Jews is still happening. The Jews are about to be killed in 11 months. That hasn't changed. As we explained before, once the king sent out a decree to kill out all the Jews, he cannot return on his word. He cannot change his mind. He cannot say, okay, you know what, I'm taking back what I said. There was no such thing. Once a king sends out something, there's no way to annul that decree. So now we're going to see how Esther handles this situation. Let's see, Vayter, Pasuk Beis, number 2. Vayasar HaMelech Taba'osa Esther Havim Rahaman, Vayidna L'Mordechai. He takes the signet ring that he gave to Haman, and now he's giving it over to Mordechai. But Tosam Esther is Mordechai al Beis Haman. Right now, Esther is handing over the position of Haman to Mordechai. So Mordechai is now the second most powerful man in the kingdom of Achashverosh. Pasuk Gimel, but Taisaf Esther v'tadaber lifnei Melech. Esther returns to the king, but people of lifnei Raglav. She gets down on her hands and knees and begins begging Achashverosh. But Taif v'tischan alei. She seems like she starts to cry, and she's begging Labirus Ras Haman Agogi to annul the decree that Haman sent out. His plan, where he planned to kill out the Jews. She's now begging that plan will be cancelled. Last time, when Esther came without permission to the king, there had to be a malach to come and put down the golden scepter, because otherwise the two guards standing on the side would kill her on the spot. Now it seems that at this point Esther found favor so much in the eyes of the king that he just put out the golden scepter even though she was not invited, and Malach did not have to do that. Achashverosh did that himself. But talking about Esther, v'tam lifnei Melech. Esther now gets up and she is starting to speak in front of the king. Pasuk Hey, but Toimer Imal Melech Toib. If it's good for the king, v'matzasichem be'enav chen lefanav. If I find favor in the king's eyes, v'kosher hadavar lifnei Melech, and this matter is right in front of the king, v'toib ani be'enav, and I'm good in the eyes of the king, yikosev l'hoshiv es asfori machsheves haman ben amdasa agogi. It should be written to return all those messages that were sent out to the provinces to kill out the Jews, they should be returned. Asher kosev la'abedes ha'yehudim, which Haman wrote out to kill out all the Jews, asher b'chol medinos ha'melech, which were sent out to all the countries of the king. Pasuk vav, ki echecho uchal v'reisi, how could I watch and sit by and do nothing, bara asher yimetzal yisami, the bad that will happen to my people? How can I see my relatives go down without me doing anything? All of a sudden, Esther Achashverosh is turning both to Esther and Mordechai. What was Mordechai doing there? Esther came by herself. Mordechai wasn't there. So the Gemara explains that Achashverosh at this point was so scared that Esther was going to start crying and sobbing, and he didn't want that to happen, either because he couldn't handle her crying, or he was afraid that if she starts crying and break down emotionally, he's just going to have to give her everything she wants in order to get her to stop crying. So he calls, quickly, bring me Mordechai. Mordechai hopefully will be able to give her moral support, and therefore she won't break down crying. That's why Mordechai is standing over her, even though he did not come to Achashverosh with Esther. Achashverosh is calling for moral support to make sure Esther does not cry. So Achashverosh turns to Esther and Mordechai, and what does he tell them? Hina beis Haman nasati l'Esther. I gave over the house of Haman to Esther. Voice of Tolu al Eitz, and we hung Haman on the tree. Al-Asher shalach yodah b'yudim, because he decreed to kill out the Jews. Now, we got a problem over here. We already established that Achashverosh cannot bring back, cannot return,
resend
all the messages that he sent out to kill out the Jews, because once the king sets out something, he cannot take that back. So what are you going to do? So this is the plan. Pasuk Ches continues, V'atem, kisvo l'ayhudim katoy b'enechem, you can write on the Jews whatever you like, b'shem ha'melech, in the name of the king, v'chismu b'tabas ha'melech, you should sign with the signet ring that I gave you, k'ksav asher nichtav b'shem ha'melech, a message, a parchment that was written in the name of the king, v'nachtam b'tabas ha'melech, and was signed with the signet ring, ein l'hashiv. It cannot be returned, it cannot be annulled. The only thing we can do now is send out a new message and let the Jews now go ahead and protect themselves from the attack. The anti-Semites are going to try and kill out the Jews. That's the only thing we can do. Pasuk Tes, V'yikaru Sofri HaMelech Ve'Yisei B'Chodesh HaShlishi Yuchodesh Sivan. The scribes of the king are now called on the third month, Sivan, B'Shloish of Esrim, by the 23rd of Nisa of Sivan, because of K'chol Asher Tzivan Mordechai El Yehudim, and it will be written everything that Mordechai says about the Jews, Vel ha'achashdar panim, v'apachais v'sari ha'medinais, all the ministers of the king, Asher Mehudim v'atkush, and all the countries that Achashverosh rules over, Sheva v'esrim v'mei ha'medina, 127 countries, which is under the control of Achashverosh, Medina medina k'chsava, every country in their language, v'am v'am k'lashoyne, every nation in the way that they speak, and to the Jews in their language. Now, if you notice, they waited a long time. This is all happening, the Nes happened during Pesach. They fasted on the first day of Pesach, second and third day of Pesach. On the third day, Esther goes in to Achashverosh, they kill Haman. And on that day, Achashverosh tells Esther that she can basically write on the Jews whatever they wanted. Why did they wait for another 2 months to make sure that the Jews can protect themselves? Why did they wait so long to send out the second message? Mordechai was worried that if they send out a message that the Jews are allowed to protect themselves, everyone is going to think it's a forgery. Maybe this message was forged. So what did Mordechai do? He waited for the original messengers that sent out the first decree of Haman to come back all the way to Shushan, to the capital. Once they came back, he sent the new messages with those same original messengers who brought the first decree are now sent again to bring the second decree that the Jews are allowed to protect themselves. And then when the second decree arrives at all the countries, everyone will see, oh, these are the same messengers who brought the first message. And they're going to know for sure that this second one is not a forgery. It must be real and authentic. That's why Mordechai waited for so long to write the second message, all the way till the end of Sivan, which is almost 2 months later.
It says 127 countries because in between this time he lost a lot of
the... Right. He lost, in the beginning of the Megillah, we saw that he lost 118 countries, which was half the world. He still ruled over 123, but he lost 118. And those 118 had no Jews in them whatsoever. That was why he made the party in the beginning of the Megillah, because he took that as a sign that if he wanted to, he can kill out all the Jews, because all the Jews were right now under his control. That's why it's referring to these 123, because only these 123 are the countries who have Jews in them. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk Yud. They wrote in the name of the king of Achashverosh, they signed with that signet ring that he gave over to Mordechai. They sent out the message with the horsemen, they had these special camels who were able to ride extremely fast, and they sent out this second message that the Jews are allowed now to protect themselves. Achashverosh is now giving permission to all the Jews in every single city, Likoil v'lamed al nafsham, to gather up and protect themselves. Lashmid v'larig l'abdes kol chil am medina, atzorim oisam tap v'noshim u'shlolam l'vayis. The Jews are allowed to, first of all, protect themselves. And secondly, they're allowed to kill out all the anti-Semites, all their enemies, who are planning to kill the Jews. The Jews now have permission to go ahead and kill them first. This is the second message that Achashverosh is sending out. Now, if you think about it, it's even though they did get permission to protect themselves, they still have no chance in winning this battle. Remember, those days, they didn't have any fancy technology. It was hand-to-hand combat. Well, the only thing that mattered was numbers. The Jews were well outnumbered when they're facing all the Gentiles and the anti-Semites who want to kill the Jews. They do not stand a chance. So how does it help that they now have permission to protect themselves if they're facing people that are way more than them? What are they supposed to do? So let's see how the situation is handled. Yud Beis. B'yoyim echad b'chol medinah samelach ha-chashverosh b'shleishasar l'chodesh ne'masar u'chodesh adar. On the 13th of Chodesh Adar, which is the 12th month, there were messages that were sent out by the king that had a special code. This was a very open and clear message to make sure that it was clear to everybody that Jews are right now allowed to protect themselves. They should prepare for this day to revenge from their enemies. These messengers were sent out urgently in front of the king. And this message was sent out in Shushan, the capital. In Pasuk Desvav, Mordechai is now going out in front of the king with this special dress that he went out in the original parade where Haman was walking him down the streets. He has a special linen and clothes that are a royal clothes. Now the city of Shushan is all happy. Remember, the city of Shushan is mainly populated by Jews. That was the main concentration of the Jews of those days. It was like the Borough Park of today. So when all the Jews found out that Mordechai is now second to the king, he's very powerful politically, they all got out and danced in the streets. The Jews were very happy because they realized that they now are not going to be killed out. Pasuk Tezayin, v'chol medino medino b'chol ir v'ir, every country and every city, the place where this second decree is sent out, simcha v'sasan la'yehudim, happiness is for the Jews. They have a feast and a holiday. many of the Gentiles in those days made up to try and convert. Because the fear of the Jews was upon them. Now, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, there was a period where many, many Gentiles wanted to convert. Because in those days, the Jews were coveted and looked up to. Therefore, many Gentiles wanted to convert. And there was a mass conversion that was done. Up to the point where Shlomo HaMelech decided, no more, we cannot accept any more Gentiles. Because he was afraid that maybe some of them are not sincere and not honest about conversion, because so many of them were converting. It seems like that kind of situation is happening again, right now, during the Megillah. Because they were so fearful and afraid of the Jews, and they didn't want to be killed on Adar, that's why they decided to convert. Now this is part of the Nes. As we mentioned before, there was no chance for the Jews to kill out all their enemies. But the Nes was that Hashem planted fear in the hearts of these anti-Semites, of these Gentiles, and therefore, not only were they not able to protect themselves when the time came, but they decided to convert because they were afraid to be killed during Adar. And many, many of those Gentiles ended up converting because they were so afraid. Again, this is part of the Nes, even though, if you think about it, the Jews did not have any chance to kill out any of the anti-Semites. Okay, let's continue with the Perek Tes. B'shneimasar chodesh u'chodesh Adar. Now, we're jumping. This second decree is sent out in Sivan, 2 months after Pesach. And now we're jumping all the way to Adar, to the last, to the 12th month on the Jewish calendar. B'shneimasar chodesh u'chodesh Adar, the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, b'shlishasar yoyim bay, on the 13th of Adar, sh'regiyah dvar ha-melech v'dasi le'ha'osayis, where the time of the decree of the king is now come to action. Where the enemies of the Jews thought they will now control the Jews and able to kill them out. The opposite happened. Now the Jews are able to control their enemies. Now, it's obvious that the Nes was that the situation turned over completely. Not only are the Jews not being killed, but they're now able to kill their enemies. But not only that, the Gra explains that V'nafeichu is referring to the poor, the lot that Haman set up when he was deciding which month to kill the Jews. Haman wasn't just doing eeny, meeny, miny, mo, trying to figure out which month to kill the Jews. It's not just, should I do it this month, that month, you know, like, well, which month should I do it in? What he was doing was, he was tapping in to the spiritual energy of every single month, and he was trying to figure out spirituality, and spiritually-wise, what is the worst time for the Jews. And in fact, Haman was right. Adar was the worst time to kill out the Jews. In the spiritual realm, they were very weak, and it was a time where the Jews were very vulnerable. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead, and he turned over the mazel, he turned over the spiritual energy, the spiritual force of the month of Adar, from being a bad time for the Jews, to being a good time for the Jews. And therefore, what ended up happening is not only were the Jews not killed, but they were able to protect themselves and kill out their enemies. And that was all thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu changing the mazel, changing the energy of that month. It's brought down in Halacha that if a Jew has a court case or something like that with a Gentile, he should try to schedule it for this month of Adar, because it's a very good month for the Jews. Again, originally it wasn't like that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed it over. This is the V'nafeichu that the Megillah is now referring to. This is the changing over that the Megillah is now talking about.
Is there any, you know how like with we say with Av, just the opposite,
right,
basically. But we say that after, you know, that after Tisha B'Av, the mazel sort of changes for the month. Any sense of that in Adar, or is it just like the whole month?
No, it's the whole month.
The whole month.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it seems to be from the commentators, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Pasuk Beis. Nikelu ha-Yehudim ba-Arayim b'chol medinas ha-Melech ha-Chashverosh. The Jews gathered up in all the cities of the countries of Ahasuerus, b'shleach yod b'mevakshei rasam, to kill out all their enemies. No one stood in front of them. Again, this is the nes that happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem planted this fear and trepidation in the hearts of all the enemies of the Jews to make sure that they will not kill out the Jews, and the Jews will be able to kill out all those anti-Semites. Pasuk Gimel, V'chol Sori HaMedinas V'Achashtarpanim V'Apachos. All the ministers of the king, v'oisei malach asher lamelech, all the servants of the king, menasim asa yehudim, they honor the Jews now, kinafo pachad Mordechai aleim. The fear of Mordechai was now very powerful politically, is now upon the all the ministers and the servants of the king. Pasuk dalet, kigodol Mordechai beveis hamelech. Mordechai is very famous in the house of the king. V'shamei holech b'chol medinos. The rumors about his greatness are being spread amongst all the countries in Ahasuerus' kingdom. Ki ha'ish Mordechai holech v'gadol. That the rumors are that Mordechai is very big and powerful. Pasuk hei v'yakwa yehudim b'chol yveim. Makas cherv v'herig v'avdon. The Jews killed out all their enemies. A complete and utter killing out. They also, Besanim Kirtzen, they did in their enemies as they wished. In the capital alone, they killed out 500 men. Now, Pasuk Zayin Chestes is listing the ten sons of Haman. Traditionally, the Baal Kor is supposed to read all the 10 sons with one breath. He takes a deep breath, and he reads, Ves Prashandos, Ves Dalfin, Ves Asposa, Ves Barosa, Ves Adai, Ves Aridosa, Ves Barosa, Ves Arisa, Ves Arida, Ves Vezasa, Aseres Menehoban, Menamdosa. He's supposed to read out the 10 sons of Haman in one breath. Why is that? The Gra explains that many people think that Haman's 10 sons were killed by hanging, but that's not true. They were actually killed in battle. They were fighting against the Jews, and they were all killed in battle. But the nace was that they were, even though they were all fighting in different areas, in different places, they were all killed in one breath, exactly at the same time. That was the nace, and that's why the Baal Kor reads the 10 sons of Haman in one breath, to refer to the fact that they were all killed in one breath, exactly at the same time. Now we're going to see later that Esther is requesting to hang them. We're going to see exactly how it's going to be done.
It says that they use the word the ace, because they're all, they could have just used a vav, because everyone was just a bigger anti-Semite like Haman.
Right, right. Everyone individually was right. Oh, the biggest, right. Not only that, but Haman was really using them as a base power. Haman had a whole entourage, a political entourage, and he used his son as a base power. He appointed them in very important positions in the palace. As we recall, Shimshi, his son, was one of his sons who was the personal scribe of the king. He was the one who read out the chronicles that listed that Mordechai was the one who saved Ahasuerus' life. And these are the 10 sons that he appointed personally to be part of his power base. Pasuk Yud continues. Aseres bnei Haman ben Amdasa tzor ha-Yehudim haragu. They killed out the 10 sons of Haman. Uvaviza lo sholchu esyotim. They did not take any of the booty, even though the sons of Haman were very wealthy. And they did have permission to go ahead and take all the money, the booty that they had control over, they still refrained from doing so. The reason being, they were afraid that Ahasuerus would say, oh, you guys only want the wealth. You're in it for the money. That's what you really want. And he's going to be upset at them. Therefore, they, even though they did have permission to, they did not touch any of that money, any of the wealth that they could have, they did not touch, to make sure that Ahasuerus would not get upset at them, not think that they're in it for the money. That day, the days of the people killed came in front of the king. Now, Ahasuerus is telling Esther, just only today, they killed out 500 men in the capital, Shushan. They killed out the tents of Haman. They killed out many others in the other countries of my kingdom. What else do you request? The Gra explains that Ahasuerus actually did not mean to say what he actually said. He meant to say something else. What he meant to say was, I can't believe this. In Shushan itself, they killed out 500 men. Who knows how many more they killed in the other countries. They killed out the ten sons of Haman's, who were the ministers for the king. My whole country, my whole kingdom is falling apart. We have to stop this. That's how he meant to say it. But instead, he ended up saying, this is what they've done so far. What else do you want? You know how it happens sometimes where you say something that you didn't mean to say? This was again part of the case where Ahasuerus ended up telling Esther, this is, you know, we already killed so much. What else do you want? But again, that's not what he meant to say. That was part of the nace. Esther is now replying to Ahasuerus and telling him, if it is good in front of the king, it should be given permission to the Jews in Shushan to do the same thing that they did today. I want the 10 sons of Haman to be hung on the tree. This is the tree that Haman actually sent and planned to kill Mordechai on. As we remember, this tree is 50 amas tall. And they hung Haman and his 10 sons on this tree. What they did was they sunk the tree 3 amas into the ground. You're left with the remaining 47 amas. When they would do 3 amas for every body. One amma of rope, and another 3 ammas for everybody, and one amma of rope, all the way up to the top of the tree. So you had these 11 men really hung one from the other, kind of like in one long rope all the way down to the ground. In a very degrading way to show what's going to be done to all the anti-Semites. The king gave permission for that to be done. He gave permission for the Jews to kill out all the enemies in Shushan and to hang the 10 sons of Haman. The Jews gathered up to kill out all the enemies on the next day as well, on the 14th, the same thing, they killed out another 300 men, and they did not touch the booty, in fear that Ahasuerus will accuse them of being in it for the money. The rest of the Jews in the countries of the king gathered to defend themselves, to kill out all their enemies, they killed out 75,000 of their enemies. Now, 75,000 is a very pretty large number, but every country has a good number of anti-Semites. And if you think about it, out of 123 countries, 75,000 is not that much. However, what happened was, they did not kill out any anti-Semites. They ended up killing all the movers and shakers, the leaders of the anti-Semites. It wasn't just the anti-Semites themselves. The ones who were organizing this hatred against the Jews were all killed out. They were the ones that the Jews killed. These are the 75,000 that the Megillah is referring to make sure that any kind of organized hatred against the Jews will not reoccur. Okay, it's a bit late out there. We're going to stop here. We'll continue from here next week.